Hey Potters, welcome to episode 167 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to summer, guys. Isn't it great? It's 90 degrees outside.
And it's been fun in Texas because we've gone from this really nice mild spring where it's been like high 60s, low 70s, and then this week, hey, here's 93.
We had a good, I think, 2 weeks of just absolutely gorgeous weather, like want to go outside at the park and have picnic kind of weather. And then all of a sudden it's like swimsuit Memorial Day, sit out by the poolside and have a barbecue weather.
It's still spring at work for us, so.
It is supposed to still realistically be spring for us for another like 3 weeks or so, because summer is really supposed to start at the beginning of June, basically. But Mother Nature doesn't care. Mother Nature don't take none.
Mother Nature in Texas don't care.
Which has been making it a little demotivating to work on cosplay. Unless, of course, you're indoors. And before I start on this, I'm just going to warn you guys that this is going to be an Amber-centric episode. I'm going to be rambling and talking a lot. So if you don't like hearing me talk, this is not the episode for you. You probably want to skip ahead to 168 when we release it. Because unfortunately, Val is under the weather, as happens occasionally with the seasons. So I'm going to be talking a lot. And I'm very sorry if that is dissatisfactory to you guys.
I managed to get sick twice in a month. I am doing awesome. I am literally spending all of my energy to help with this episode, and then I'm going to go right back to bed.
Woo!
All of the Ricolas keeping me happy.
So we will start with the cosplay updates. And for once, I don't have a pile of fabric to show you guys.
Oh, darn. I have a pile of fabric.
Mostly because the pile of fabric is so large that it's actually on my table now. I have two full outfits that I'm working on at the same time, and I am terrible at multitasking in that fashion, simply because there are so many pieces that are separates, and you have to keep them together. So there's that. I finally did finish my hand basting for my Elven Rogue costume, and I finished hand basting Zelda's underdress. So everything is basically assembled. It is awaiting my sewing machine, and I finished it today and then basically held off on making any more progress simply because there is a cosplay meet tomorrow and I wanted to have stuff to do, so I'm bringing it all with me tomorrow. So there's a giant pile. The pile, as I'm looking at it, is about yay big. It's a good foot and a quarter. Yeah, it's a good foot and a quarter tall of just pile of textiles that need to be machine sewn together. Because, you know, hand basting is great, but it's not very strong, especially when you're dealing with things like jersey fabrics. And then once that's done, then I can finally get around to doing the rest of it. For Zelda, I did do the stencil for the bottom of the dress. I hand sketched it out. And I will figure out how I'm going to apply that later on, because I've seen people do embossing. I have seen people do embroidery. I have seen people do puff paint. I have seen people do paint pens. There are all sorts of things that I have as options, and I just haven't figured out yet how I want to do this. So I will do that. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to brave the heat and go outside and spray paint my armor, because it's not going to get any cooler outside, whether I like it or not. And it's supposed to be dry for the next 15 days. So I really have no excuses, honestly. Except for that it's air conditioned inside. But then my apartment will smell like spray paint, which is actually really bad for your health. So I will be taking that outside to do and then finish final assembly on that. And then I get to start doing all the embellishments and all of the fun stuff. And last but not least, installing the zipper that goes in the back of the dress, because I do have to be able to get in and out of it at some point. That is very useful.
Nah, you lie.
Well, you know, when they draw these things in anime shows, they never have any seams. So clearly they never put it on or take it off or bathe or sleep. No,
they live in those garments. There is no such things as closures.
It's not even so much that they live in it. It's that they were literally born in magical garments that change size with them, so that they've literally never taken it off since they came out. Ever.
Yep.
That's how these things work. No, so I will put closures on that. And that will pretty much finish up Zelda. I don't think I'm going to do any props to go with it, as much as I really want to be doing props right now. The way conventions are going with their prop rules is just really discouraging me from bringing any sorts of props to con anymore, because I don't want to have to worry about it being con safe and being confiscated. So I'm pretty much just going, eh, I'll just bring the outfit, and that's it. Which is actually really depressing. But there you go. I'm kind of eager to get both of these done out of my menagerie so that I can, you know, start working on other things too. It's been very zen. I've been in one of my depressive anxiety cycles again, one of my very, very dark places, unfortunately. That happens when you have mental health that you're dealing with. And cosplay mostly keeps me sane, so I'm trying to do as much of it as I can. Your turn.
I was about to add to it. The nice thing with Zelda is that because it's such a recognizable character, you don't really need all the extra props. It's already such a glamorous and magnanimous outfit to begin with that the props kind of add to it, but you don't really need it. It's kind of a good trade-off. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is what I've been working on. This is part of the Snow White stuff. I have gone through and worked on the petticoat, and I'm trying, air quote on that, trying to keep it as close to how it is on the doll as possible, but I am going to have to make some slight adjustments to it because I am a human being and, you know, stuff things. I'm not a pencil thin thing. So I have a little bit extra fluff on the petticoat, so it'll help kind of make the skirt be a little bit more voluminous at the bottom. And then I also added some interfacing to the top itself. The top is not finished by any means, which is why it looks a little funky on the form. But for the most part, I've got some of the pieces going, getting all the stuff attached together, working on all of the wonderful tracings of the embroidery that I'll be doing. God help me. Though I think I'm going to be smart and do it by machine this time instead of by hand, because I don't need to be doing more stuff by hand. Plenty of that already going on. And really, other than that, I've just been cutting and sewing a ton of straps for my other costume, because I'm going to be making another petticoat, but this time with all of the floofy fabric lace on the bottom. So I've got like 20 strips of this stuff going that I just need to start hemming and cutting, and you see, starting to work on it and attaching, and then making another petticoat on top of all of that. Not entirely sure when I'll be wearing this one, because we don't really have any events that are coming up kind of soon. And because it is such a long sleeve garment, I know I'm not going to be wearing it in the middle of Texas summer. So I'll figure out something for it. But yeah, just kind of plowing along, getting stuff done. Lots of fabric everywhere. There's even more behind the dress form that you can't see, because there's an entire bolt of lace that I bought for the bottom of this stupid skirt. Yay. That's it.
Incidentally, if anybody's looking for cosplay supplies, apparently right now everybody is having clearance sales, and I don't know why. There's a local store here in Dallas that is having a cheer sale, as in cheerleading. They're getting rid of a bunch of sampler pairs of shoes. So if you needed various types of shoes for cosplay, they're not just sneakers. They have like go-go boots and such. So they have clearance sale on those. Tandy Leather is clearancing out their shoulders, which are 10 to 14 square feet of leather for like $40. It's the real thin stuff, so it's not necessarily garment grade, but you could use it for things like belts and pouches and purses and things like that. So they're having a sale, and Hobby Lobby has all of their fabric by the yard on sale for 30% off. All of it. And then, of course,
spring, maybe.
It could be clearing out inventory for summer stuff.
Right.
Or if they just had excess left over from end of year, because it's end of physical for a lot of companies right around this time of year. So they're just clearancing out stuff. But it's a great time, and Memorial Day is also coming up, and everybody uses that as an excuse to have sale too. So if you need cosplay supplies, coming up is actually a really good time to be saving your money and budgeting and looking up how much things cost so that you can get the best bang for your buck. That said, speaking of best bang for your buck, we wanted to spend today's episode, since 'tis the season for conventions, talking about convention survival tips. How to attend your first con, what you need to be doing, or even if it's not your first con, if it's the first time you're going to a given con, insert con name here. And we are going to keep this generic. We're not going to be mentioning any specific cons because these tips are fairly general and will work for pretty much any major kind of con that you go to. So when you're looking at attending a con, even if you haven't even agreed that you're going to go there yet, there are a few things that you want to do when looking at the convention. You kind of want to scout things out, do a little bit of recon, as it were. So one of the first things you'll want to look for is food. Yes, that has nothing to do with cosplay. I'm aware of this.
What are you talking about? It has everything to do with cosplay. Cosplayers are always hungry. What is wrong with you?
In the sense that it's not directly involved in making or wearing of the cosplay, unless you have to worry about spilling it on your cosplay as you eat it. But no, the reason I say this is twofold, and one is that while you're in cosplay, you need food. Whether or not you're in cosplay, period, you need food at a convention. In fact, when you're cosplaying, you probably need it more because you dehydrate, and you tend to forget to eat because people are constantly stopping you every 10 feet for a picture. But also because all conventions are different. They have different rules. They may or may not allow you to bring in food. Some will have food trucks on site. Some have nearby restaurants. Some have restaurants in the hotel itself. And of course, there are attendees that have specific dietary requirements, which are very important things when you're traveling, since you can't necessarily, you know, just go back to your bag and grab what you need, unless, of course, you're staying at the hotel. So usually the first thing, at least that I recommend doing when you're scouting out a place for going to a convention, is finding out what food is nearby, what kind of food, how much does it cost, what are the hours of operation in case you happen to get the munchies at 2 a.m. after the concert, or if you happen to be an early riser and your only option is Starbucks pastries. All of these things are good to know. And if you're going out of town, basically, you're going to be limited to whatever you can find there or whatever you brought with you. Although, some places now are offering in-suite kitchens, which are really nice. If you can spring for those, that way you can cook your own meals. And then you don't have to worry about going out to eat the whole time. So there is that. Along with food, have a look at the parking situation if you are driving. Generally, this will apply more to local conventions than conventions that are out of state, since you'll probably tend to be flying there. But it applies if you're driving too. Basically, if you have a car and need to put it somewhere, you have to understand that the hotel that is hosting the convention has limited parking. We've had a lot of experience with this. You can't always find a spot at the con hotel, and so it's really important to know, how close to the convention center can I park? How far am I going to have to walk in this massive ball gown of a cosplay in my high heels when it's 90 degrees outside? You'll also want to make sure that there are places, if you are staying overnight, that you can park overnight, because not every place will even allow you to leave your car there overnight. So there is that. Most parking is not free. And my advice to convention goers, and I say this very tongue-in-cheek, I say it lovingly, please budget for parking in your convention funds. The parking is not free. It will cost you to park. You may as well budget for it. It is not worth the risk of getting your car towed to try and park in a place that does not openly say it is free, especially if that involves government.
Just assume that it's going to be $30 a day, because it seems like that's the general rate no matter where you go. And if it ends up being cheaper, then hey, you got extra cash for the dealer's room.
Yeah. This is at a hotel. If you're parking on a street lot, it usually tends to run you $10 to $15 a day. So about half that. And if you're budgeting for the hotel, always budget valet. You may not use it, but sometimes valet is the only option that's left. So you need to budget for it as if you are going to end up having to use it. Very important. And if you ride a motorcycle and you're going to spring for valet, make sure the valet knows how to ride one. I know that doesn't seem like a common thing, but seriously, these guys have to park your vehicle, which means they have to know how to drive it or ride it. So you may consider just not taking a motorcycle.
All right, I'm going to quickly roll back to the food thing because SCNS Live threw this out here. I store fruit leather in my pouches for a quick snack, and that's usually something that I do too, especially if I have a bag with me that goes with my costume, or if I have pockets with my costume. I tend to do either granola bars or fruit bars or something like that, so it's something easy and it keeps me fed. And it's also less messy than dealing with a bunch of other stuff.
Finger food that is high in protein, like granola bars, jerky, that sort of thing, are really the best for you, since it will regulate your blood sugar better. You won't get a sudden high or a sudden crash after you eat it. It tends to be a little cleaner, especially if you're in cosplay, and you don't have as much to worry about, you know, spilling on yourself, which is a very real worry when you are in a costume.
Especially when it's white.
Yes. Or if you happen to be eating something that stains, like, say, chocolate.
Oh gosh, never eat chocolate while you're in cosplay ever. You will thank yourself later.
It is up to you if you take the risk. If you're going to take the risk, I highly recommend that you bring an old sheet or a towel to put over you. Just in case.
Be prepared, because, oh man, that stuff will get everywhere.
It does. Okay, so you've looked at food, you've looked at parking. Those are two of the more important things. Now, I'm assuming, you know, I'm setting aside that people have already done the basics, like booking a hotel room and getting transport there. I'm not going to cover those. Those you kind of have to do no matter how you're getting there, basically. If you're going to go, you have to do those things. So food, parking. Layout of the hotel is very important. It's very helpful to look at maps of the Con Hotel before you go, because not only do you want to know where stuff is, and generally most cons will put out maps of the venue and they'll say where stuff is. A lot of cons don't leave very much time on their schedules between panels. So if you're planning on attending multiple things and you suddenly have to book it, it's very helpful to know exactly how far it is to get from A to B and what you're going to have to do to get there. Especially if you have to worry about things like, say, escalators not working and you're suddenly going to have to take the elevators. Good to know where those things are.
Yeah, Marianne Kroon actually made that point a little bit earlier. Look at the program and plan accordingly. Yes. Especially if it's your first time at a convention and you kind of want to be like, I want to see everything. Realistically, you can't see everything. So just pick the things that you really, really want to see the most, and then try to plan your day out around those, and you'll have a much more enjoyable time than trying to rush here and there, back and forth, trying to see everything, because it's not going to happen.
And you'll probably want to keep that program handy in case some of the things that you really, really want to go to either happen to be full or canceled, because both things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff happens at cons. And that's actually one of the more important things to take away from all of this, is that no matter how much you plan, you're kind of going to still have to wing it when you get there, just because life happens. Cons happen. It's controlled chaos is what it is. So don't freak out when things don't go exactly according to plan, because actually you're really lucky if they go according to plan. So there's that. So look at the con program, look at the hotel layout, get a feel for where things are and what you'd like to do. If you have kids, it's going to be very important to establish, is there kid-friendly content at the con? Now, we don't necessarily have kids, but we have friends that do. So we've, you know, seen people having these concerns and having to address this sort of situation. Not all con content is kid-friendly. A lot of cons have started putting ratings levels on some of their panels, so that if something says PG-13 or rated R, please do not bring your toddler. It is not a suitable environment. I mean, it's your kid. You do what you want. Just, I don't recommend it. Unless you want to have to do some explaining later in life. But also bear in mind that a lot of conventions will stop kid-friendly content at a certain time of day. Usually it's 7 or 8 o'clock-ish. So basically anything that comes on after that point is fair game and is probably not kid-friendly. Some conventions, fewer and fewer now, have childcare type facilities there. where you can, well, effectively drop your kid off and have trained staff, you know, basically watch your child while you are at the convention. Check with the con first. Please don't assume that they have daycare facilities. And even if they do, you may wish to make sure that they're trained and registered first, just for safety reasons. Speaking of finding out where facilities are, know where the medical facilities are. You may not ever need them at a convention, but it's actually really important that you know where they are, or at least know how to get a hold of medical staff in case there really is a medical emergency. Like I said, stuff happens at a con. You may feel dizzy, you know, you may end up breaking something because somebody knocks you over in a con hallway, you know. These things happen. Or it may just be something as simple as, you know, I don't feel so good, can I have a cough drop? Know where the medical staff is. Or at least know how to get a hold of them. Likewise, know where security is. Know what security staff look like. Generally, they'll wear colored vests of some sort and they'll have walkie-talkies with them, maybe an earpiece. And know how to get a hold of them, especially with the cosplay is not consent movement that has been gaining in popularity lately. There are stalkers at cons. This stuff happens. Sometimes you need security, and it's a good idea to know how to contact them. So all that stuff is good. One of the other things that you'll want to do as a cosplayer is know what the cosplay policies are, please. Know what the public decency laws are, please. And this is mostly so that you as a cosplayer don't have to worry about convention staff basically telling you, you cannot wear that costume or you cannot bring that prop into our space. And it can be heartbreaking if you spend 4 and 5 months on a costume or on a prop to take it there only for them to tell you, no, we're sorry, you need to go back up to your room and change. Or, you know, we're really sorry, you can't have that prop here, you need to go put it back in your car. It really is frustrating, and we don't want anyone to have to go through that. So please check the policies. Like, check it even before you start your cosplay or before you start your prop. But definitely, you know, a couple months in advance to make sure that you can accommodate their policies so that you can make sure that you are decent in public, make sure that you are, you know, decent for people to take photos of you, because you will have photos taken of you. Keep that in mind. You can always say no, but that doesn't stop people from taking your photo in public space. It's a convention. Photographers have the right to, you know, take pictures of your likeness. So there is that. Is there anything big I'm forgetting?
I don't believe so, other than I know that Marianne also mentioned, you know, take breaks to eat.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're in cosplay or not. I think just because you get kind of excited and you get all caught up in the fun of the convention, that sometimes you forget, oh, hey, I'm a human. I need to rest. And it's okay to sit down and rest. And you'll be amazed at how many panelists are like, yeah, you can come in and eat your lunch or your dinner in here while you watch the panel. That's totally cool.
In fact, I would go so far as to say, don't just tell yourself you're going to take breaks. Actually schedule them.
Schedule.
Put it into your schedule. I know that for many years, I was actually really bad about that. I would just tell myself, oh, I'll just take a break whenever I can get to it, or I'll eat whenever I can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually like be borderline wanting to pass out due to lack of calories because I hadn't eaten all day, where I was nauseous and not feeling well. And so eventually I literally put lunch in my schedule and I blocked out an hour. Even though I don't need an hour to eat, I blocked out a full hour. Or I would put snack, full half hour. Like, can't go to panels, can't do anything, no interviews, no media, nothing. I don't do anything during that time except actually take a break. And that includes going to the bathroom. Make sure that, you know, you have adequate time to take care of yourself. And speaking of taking care of yourself, if you have not heard of the 6-2-1 rule, you do now, and you need to follow it. 6-2-1 means 6 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, 1 shower. That is per day at the convention. So you need to sleep. I don't care if anecdotal evidence says, oh, I can go through the entire con on 2 Red Bulls. Don't care. No. Sleep.
Actual sleep helps.
Actual quality sleep in the room, lights out. Two square meals does not mean ramen and coffee. It means actual nutritional sustenance that has some vitamin value to you. It has caloric value that does not involve a ton of sodium and needs to be enough of a meal that it's not just a granola bar. Granola bars are great for snacks.
They're perfect for snacks.
They're not square meals. You need to have two actual meals. And that doesn't generally mean scarfing it all down in one go. It doesn't mean two meals back to back. You need to space your calories out. It's the way the human body works. And you need to shower. I will not get on my soapbox.
Literally and figuratively.
I do this every year and I will not do it. So I will simply say, Axe is not a shower. Febreze is not a shower. We're done here. That's it. Showering involves soap and water in a tub. That's it. We're adults. Take care of it. It is not just for the smell, you guys. It is for hygienic reasons. If you have bacteria and viruses on you, you need to wash them off so that you are not patient zero and you don't want to be that guy that gets the rest of the con sick. So take care of your stuff. Yeah. And the last thing that I wanted to mention real fast, and this is something that actually most convention guides don't cover. Give feedback. Once you have had a fantastic time at the con, or unfortunately a sucky time, as sometimes happens, make sure that you tell the convention what happened and constructive ways that you think they can make it better. And complaints are all fine and good, but the convention isn't really going to do as much about it unless you tell them specifically what's wrong and specifically how you would like it addressed, preferably in writing. Those end of convention panels that they have where it's like, how'd we do? Those are all fine and good, but unless they actually have a note taker there, they're probably going to forget a good half of what is said. That's just, if you've ever run a convention, you understand the chaos that goes on in the brain and you're just going to forget everything that happened in a blur because that's effectively how it happened in your brain. So email them, post on their social media in a polite fashion. Please, we are adults. Write to them. Just let them know that you had a great time. You know, it's not all about the bad. Tell them what you enjoyed too, because they're more likely to bring it back. They're more likely to do more of it. And that's what we like seeing in our conventions, is good things happening, everybody having a good time. That's why we do these sorts of things.
Same thing with panelists, or if there's any guests that you really appreciated being there. And that's the one thing as a panelist, is we rarely get feedback about how we did. So if you have a panel that you absolutely adored or that you didn't like, give that feedback too, because it's really beneficial.
And likewise for guests. If you have guests you really liked and want to come back next year, tell the convention, because they're more likely to bring that guest back if they know that people specifically came to the convention for that guest. So all things all around.
Yep. The only other things I can think to add, they're kind of small and minor. If it's your first time going, definitely bring a camera with you. You can use the one that's on your phone, but we know how quickly that fills up because, I mean, life. So actually bring like a dedicated camera with you, because you're going to be seeing and experiencing so many cool and fun things. And sometimes just having them as a memory is not enough. It's just that much better to have a camera with you, so it's always there. And then I'm a big, big believer in having cash on me instead of using my credit card to pay for things. And there's two reasons for this. One is that Wi-Fi in hotels and convention centers is not always the greatest. And a lot of times vendors will crash and don't have access to things, so they have to only accept cash. So if you really, really want to buy that Pokemon plushie, probably best to have cash on you. And the second thing is that it's a good way to actually visually see your budget, and you can see where your money is going. So you can kind of plan the rest of your day of, okay, I only have this much left. I need to hold on to it so I can have dinner. So that's the other reason too. think those are really the only two things I can add.
If you're going to take cash, I highly, highly recommend using the hotel room safe.
Yes.
That's what they're there for. And I also highly recommend only keeping as much cash on your person as you need for that purchase.
Yeah, or whatever you need for the day. Don't carry all of it at once. Let's be safe here.
Because people do lose their wallet at cons. I've lost my wallet at a con and somebody took all the cash out. Thankfully, it was only, I think it was $40. Everything else was intact, thank God. But it happens. And I've had friends lose their wallets too. And the first thing the thieves take is cash because it's untraceable. So only carry as much as you need for the day or for whatever transaction you're about to go do. Leave the rest in the safe, please.
I'm going to show off one of my lovely purchases that I got that I'm so glad I did. So this is a phone wallet. It's purposely there to act as a place for your phone and for your cash. But the great thing is that it's got multiple holders on it. So you can actually have it attached to you at all times. The chances of you losing something is almost slim to none. This is a great investment. So if you can find one that fits for your phone, perfect for conventions, not going to lie.
Yep. And speaking of cash, if you're going to have people stay with you in your hotel room, I highly recommend, as terrible as this is going to sound, doing a deposit system.
Yeah.
And that's to protect you.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, if your name is what's on the hotel room and your credit card is what's on the hotel room, you are the one who's going to end up paying for it, regardless of who is in your room and how much they reimburse you. So if life happens, which does happen on occasion, and people suddenly have to drop out of your room, you're still responsible for paying the entire room, no matter how much you get reimbursed. So it is my personal recommendation to you that if you're going to a convention, especially with people you don't know, have them pay half up front as a deposit for the hotel room, non-refundable. Because that way it helps you out so you're not left hanging. Two, they're not out the entire amount if for some reason life happens. And three, they have incentive to make sure that they go and don't just, you know, leave you out to dry. So that's, at least that's my recommendation if you're doing a hotel room that's being shared. If you have hotel room memberships, use them. You can rack up points for doing these sorts of things, and then you get discounts on room rates. Sometimes you get a discount on the room rate just for being a member. You don't even have to spend any money with them. You get those. The points can be used for freebies, things like free meals. They can be used for going toward a room. They can be used for free Wi-Fi. They can be used for all sorts of things. And hotel memberships are free. You can sign up with most of the major chains for free. So you just register and then you book through them. 9 times out of 10, they are cheaper than the con rate if you are a member. If you are a AAA holder, AAA does discounts on hotels. They have a AAA room rate. Look for it, because it will save you a ton of money. I don't know why people don't know about this sort of thing, or at least people who are younger than me don't. It's like, oh, this is such a great rate. Come on, man. Like, I booked a room and I got free breakfast every day of the con, and I beat the con room rate. I mean, how much better do you get than that? Plus, I had free parking because I'm a member.
There's this assumption that if you're going through the convention that, oh, they got us a cheaper rate for this, so therefore everything. Honestly, it's becoming such a problem now where with most conventions, you're not really getting a cheaper rate. The rates are actually a little bit more expensive to cover, you know, what they need.
Liability insurance.
Yeah. So it's not really cheaper. So it doesn't hurt to shop around and see where you can get a lower price. I mean, if you've got those memberships, use them. That's exactly what I did for AECON last year. Was that we stayed at a hotel that was not on the convention block. We saved at least $100 a night compared to the cheapest rate with the convention. And we had food every day. So it was like, okay, so why? It was one extra block of walking. Ooh.
That's actually a really good point. Don't be afraid to stay at an alternative hotel. That isn't the host hotel for the con.
I love this comment from SCNS Live. It's LOL con room rates. Truth.
Don't assume that the con is looking out for you and giving you the best deal. So sometimes when you do the math, and this does involve a little math, I'm very sorry. But when you do the math, staying at a hotel that is 2 or 3 blocks further away, and just taking an Uber to get there is still cheaper than staying at the host hotel. Not only can it be cheaper, never underestimate the power of free breakfast.
Dude, free breakfast for life. Oh my gosh.
Skipping breakfast at a con is never a good idea. Like, if you're going to eat any meals with those 2 square meals, breakfast, dinner. If you're going to skip a meal, if you absolutely have to, and I'm not advising this, skip lunch. Don't skip breakfast, please. Even if you have to pay for breakfast at the convention center, it's still worth it. Eat breakfast.
Yeah, I'm not a big breakfast person, but when I'm at conventions, I will force myself to eat breakfast because I know I will spend that energy real fast. That's the truth.
It is. And breakfast is also what's going to start your convention off. So you want to start it off on the right foot and not feeling like crap. Especially if you partied the night before.
Right.
That food is doubly important if you partied. And speaking of partying, party responsibly, please. I mean, cons are there to party. You can go to the dance. You can go to your rave. You can do the masquerade, the formal. More power to you. If you want to stay out till 2 or 3 a.m., great. Communicate that to your roommates so that they know where you are. And it's preferable to make sure that there's a good way of contacting you. If you're attending the con with somebody else, exchange phone numbers so that you guys can get a hold of each other. At least try, because I know reception absolutely sucks in hotels. And you can't ever call or text people. Ever. But at least you can try. So exchange contact info, basically. If you absolutely have to use Facebook Messenger or something, fine. But
the one time I will download the app is only for conventions.
whatever it takes to use the reception that's there, basically. Because you want to know, you don't have to know every single detail of people's schedules, but it's kind of generally good to know, hey, I won't be back in the room until 2 a.m. Don't wait up for me. Okay, so when somebody enters my hotel room at 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm only half awake, I don't flip out. Hey, like I said, stuff happens at cons. Fire alarms go off at 2 in the morning every year.
Every year. Without fail.
So I think that covers most of the basic tips for attending the first year of a convention, whether it's new to you or whether this is your very first time attending anything. So of course, if you guys have any tips or tricks that you would like to offer, or if you have any additional questions you'd like to ask us, we will be happy to answer them. You can contact us on any of our social media, which you can find here.
And while we're at it, thank you for everybody in our chat today who added in all of their suggestions. Appreciate it.
And of course, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org. Please make sure that you have a look at our Discord. You'll notice that our website is new and streamlined. It's smooth. You should be able to find all of our stuff that you need now on the homepage, including the Discord. Since I finally got up and updated it with the Discord. I'm sorry.
Stuff is happening. It's okay.
Life is definitely happening. Oh my gosh. But we hope that everyone's cosplay is going well. For those who are attending conventions in the very near future, we wish everybody the best of fun, the best of times. Please feel free to share your pictures of the convention with us. Or, of course, you can share your progress pics. We always enjoy seeing those too. Please just do keep them family friendly in case we would like to share them with our audience. Otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 168 of Cospod the Podcast for all things cosplay. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Hi, everybody.